Well, good morning.
Good morning.
This is April 7th, the first Sunday in April, and we're going to continue with our study of Psalm 23. And today we're going to be focusing on verse 5 because the last two lessons we covered verse 4. And this is our ninth lesson, and the title is Thou Preparest. Thou Preparest. And in this lesson, we're going to be examining God's promise of friendship. So, let's all stand, and as is our custom, let's either read or quote Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And then for our key verses, we're going to focus, like I said, on verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And then their second key verse is taken from 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, which says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I'm going to ask if my husband would pray for our lesson this morning, please.
Lord.
Amen. And you may be seated, and thank you for standing in honor of the Word of God. David spent many of his days and nights being pursued by his enemies. In fact, in more than one occasion, David's life was at risk. As a young shepherd, David fought not only with lions and bears, but if you remember, he also fought against the giant Goliath. As a servant to King Saul, David experienced many attempts on his life. Many from the very hands of the man that he served. As a warrior, David fought and slew his 10,000s. And after his wife, who was Saul's daughter, helped him escape from King Saul's house, David spent the next several years fleeing from King Saul's rage. Seeking food and shelter and a sword, David escaped to the priestly outpost of Nob. He then ran to the king of Gath to avoid death at the hands of the Philistines. As an outlaw, David headquartered in a cave in the wilderness. There, in that wild and mountainous region, David was hunted just like the animals that lived there. Even when he became king of Israel, David was forced to flee for his life into the desert, this time from his own son. It was this David the fugitive, who wrote of finding a gracious host, who wrote of finding abundant provision, who wrote about finding a friend while being a victim on the run. In Psalm 23:5, he writes, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Jay Montgomery said this, In the midst of affliction, my table is spread. With blessings unmeasured, my cup runneth over. With perfume and oil, thou anointest my head. Oh, what shall I ask of thy providence more? Our experiences with flight and persecution are not nearly as literal or as terrible as David's were. But we do suffer attacks from our enemies. There are those who in our life make our life difficult. There are those in our life who hound us. There are those in our life who block us and slander us. There are those in our life who delight in our difficulties. There are those in our life that persecute us. There are those who have let us have it from time to time. There are those who have taken up an active cause against us. There are those who harass us, browbeat us, nitpick, and nag us. There are those whose mission seems to be creating tension for us, making sure that we never relax. When we read about Hannah's story in the Bible, which is found in 1 Samuel, we read about a woman who experienced firsthand the promise and reality of God's friendship in the presence of her enemy. And this gives us the hope and the promise, as well as what we read in the scripture, that when we are in these situations, we also have the promise and the reality of his friendship, especially when we're in the presence of our enemies. So let's just read her story. I know this is familiar to probably all of you, but we'll go through it briefly here. Reading from 1 Samuel 1, verses 1 through 20, which says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but that the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake at her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Hannah was childless, and being barren in those days was a very, very terrible thing in the life of a woman. It was brought great reproach upon her. And to make matters even worse, she was relentlessly provoked by her husband's other wife. And Hannah had nowhere to turn. She certainly fell into the category of someone who was mercilessly persecuted by an enemy, by an adversary, by a rival. Year after year, she was chided, she was taunted, she was scoffed at, she was laughed at for her barrenness. But when Hannah went up to the house of the Lord to worship, she entered into the presence and the provision of the Lord. There in Shiloh, she poured out her problems and her woes to the Lord. In God's presence, there was rest. In God's presence, there was fellowship. In God's presence, there was help. In God's presence, there was healing. And Hannah left that place repaired. She left replenished. She left joyful. We too have in the Lord one who provides relief for us from our enemies, who provides relief for us from our problems. We too can enter into the presence of the one who will provide a haven of rest when we are on the run, when we feel like we are under attack. As we read in Psalm 23, we note a change in language as we proceed from verse 4 to verse 5. Just as the scenery for a stage play is changed between acts, there's a change of scenery here. A new image is introduced in verse 5. It's an image of a host and his guest. Suddenly we move from journeying with the good shepherd as he leads us as his sheep out in the wilderness, out in the field, to a scene of gracious hospitality, to a scene of friendship. The setting shifts to show the psalmist as a guest of honor. He's enjoying the warm hospitality that is characteristic of the Middle East, where Psalm 23 was written. Suddenly, the shepherd and sheep imagery is replaced by one of human intimacy, by one of feasting, by one of friendship. In our last two lessons, as we examine verse 4, I hope we came to a better understanding of the Lord's divine protection through our dark times, while we're in the valley of darkness, even the darkness of death. We learned we could declare, even while we're in that valley, Lord, you are with me. And we explored the nature and extent of the Lord's protection and comfort. We looked at his rod and his staff, which we learned were his word and his spirit. Today, now as we look at verse 5, we will continue to focus on the promise of his protection, on the promise of his comfort. But we're going to look at it in the context of the blessings that are offered through his friendship. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. All along the way, we have needed God's protection. Yes. All along the way, we have needed his guidance. All along the way, we have needed his provision. But here in verse 5, we experience the generosity of his friendship as well. Verse 5 of Psalm 23, "Thou preparest a table before me," focuses first our attention on our host. And who is our host? Well, our host is the Lord himself. And then our focus moves on to the supply that our host has heaped upon his table. And quite a picture is painted for us. "Thou preparest a table before me." Much has gone into spreading such a feast. The table is prepared. It is prepared for us. We are not unexpected guests, but we are anticipated guests. We are not drop-in guests, but we are invited guests. This is not a quick snack where something like leftovers are thrown together, but this is a spread where preparations were carefully made in advance. The table is elaborately furnished and it's abundantly spread with food. The scene described in this verse reminds me of the marriage supper of the Lamb as prepared by Christ for his bride that we read about in Revelation 19:9, which says, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." We never have to worry about God's provision. As David declared in the first verse of Psalm 23, "I shall not want." When God elects to feed a soul, then that soul shall be fed. The time will never come when God's table is bare. When the Lord Jesus Christ prepares a table for us, he prepares the very best.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And he prepares what is best for us as we walk through life. He also prepares in advance. He sets his banqueting table and waits for us as weary travelers to allow him to minister to us. Our Lord prepares a table in the wilderness for us when we are exhausted. He prepares this table for us when we are done in. He prepares this table for us when we are worn out. He pours his love and he pours his graciousness into this generous nourishment that we need in order to sustain us in our labors and in the battles that we must fight. He prepares a table before us. In verse 5, we discover two additional characteristics of the hospitality and the generosity that the Lord bestows upon his battle-weary people. First, there is the anointing of the head, and yet another generous and gracious gesture. He anoints the head of his guests with perfumed oil. He not only feeds us, but he also anoints us. And this is an obvious act of luxury, for oil is costly. It's also a symbol of joy, for the oil of joy always replaces mourning. Isaiah 61:3 tells us, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And it's also a sign of happiness, for ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, which is what we're told in Proverbs 27:9. "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." Chemists tell us of three unique pleasures and distinct qualities of oil. The first is touch. Oil provides a smoothness. The second is sight. Oil gives a brightness. And the third is smell. Oil supplies a fragrance. All three elements combined gratify the senses and are sources of delight to the one anointed. Imagine the weary and the oppressed traveler treated to something so refreshing out of the bounty of a friendly, generous host. The second mark of his hospitality and generosity that he gives towards his people is the filling of the cup. David wrote, "My cup runneth over." The magnitude of God's provision includes the well-filled cup. This is a cup that's used for drinking a refreshing beverage at a dinner or at a banquet. It is large and deep, and its contents were meant to satisfy the thirst. Its contents were meant to refresh the body. Its contents were meant to invigorate the soul. As with all of God's other provisions, the cup too is full, and it is complete. It's brimming over until it spills over. The one who is blessed to drink from it will be filled. The one who is blessed to drink from it will be saturated. There is no doubt about it. Our Lord's provision for us represents thoughtfulness, and it represents abundance. Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 20 tells us that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Yes. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And so, as we tiredly and frantically enter into his refuge and see the treasure of his table, a table prepared and filled and waiting for us, we see plenty of necessary food. But there's also the oil of his joy and the filling of our cup to measures above and beyond. The sustenance, the oil, the brimming cup do their job well. They revive us. They strengthen us. They stimulate us. They delight us. When we think of all the riches of grace which we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, we should gratefully acknowledge, "My cup runneth over." A. Naismith said, "Nothing narrow, nothing stinted ever issues from God's store. To his own he gives full measure, running over evermore." How blessed we are. Just think about it. Our divine host is the sovereign God of the universe. He is the awesome, all-powerful, all-knowing, always present one. Let's consider just a few examples of the many blessings that he offers us. The first that I have here is he offers increased intimacy. It's one thing to be a sheep with the good shepherd, but it's quite another thing to be a guest in his home. In our Father's house, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. That's what we're told in Psalm 16:11. It says, "Thou wilt shew me the path of life In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Second blessing that he offers is divine care. The Lord's care for us is expressed in the fact that he himself prepares a table for us. Imagine the joy of feasting in his presence at his table and on the provisions that are provided from his hand. We shall definitely not want. Psalms 34, 8 and 9 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." He also offers gracious comfort. Our heavenly host anoints our head with oil and fills our cup to overflowing. When we consider all the Lord offers us, I think we can agree with what David wrote in 2 Samuel 7, verses 18 and 22, which says, "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, 'Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that that house brought me hitherto? Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears.'"
Hallelujah.
The Lord also offers us a haven in a hostile world. The psalmist speaks of enemies, but no enemy can come so near that God is not nearer.
Right.
No matter where we roam, and no matter how many enemies pursue, and no matter how hard the path, we need only seek the presence of the Lord, and we will enjoy a retreat for our soul. All who find their refuge in the Lord find not only a friend, but they find rest. They find refreshment. They find relaxation. They find renewal.
Yes.
They find revival. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." We are told in Psalm 94:22, "But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge." And then we can read in Psalms 91:2, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." He offers us a shelter from the storms of life. That's another one of the blessings that we get from our divine host. In our Father's house, we can come in from the cold to the warmth of his love. In our Father's house, we can come in from loneliness to fellowship. In our Father's house, we can come in from war to peace. In our Father's house, we can come in from darkness to light. In our Father's house, we can come in from danger to safety. In our Father's house, we can come in from famine to great abundance. In our Father's house, we can come in from animosity to friendship. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4 says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wing, Selah. The Lord Jesus Christ offers us a warm welcome. As we come into the presence of our Lord, we find that we are expected. We've been anticipated. We are greeted. Preparations have been made in advance, and our host has been waiting to wrap his arms around us in love and in friendship. Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that hears say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Another blessing offered by our divine host is that he offers us a place to pause. As we run from place to place, as we run from event to event, we can always stop in our host home. We stop, we breathe, we pause, we enjoy, we feast, we rest, we fellowship, we regroup. In his presence, we find heaven here on earth. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He also offers us a place to recover. As we arrive weary and worn, as we arrive haggard and breathless, as we arrived battered and bruised, as we arrive bleeding and terrorized, our heads are anointed and our wounds are bathed with the oil of healing. Jeremiah 33:6 says, "Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace." Hallelujah. And truth. Thank you, Jesus. And his blessings doesn't stop there, but it goes on. Another one I have listed here is his generosity. In the intimacy of his house, our host generously provides for us, continually refilling our cup as we drink from it. He delights in pouring out an abundant portion. Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Our host, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the perfect example of all that comes from the heart of a true friend. The lavishness of the oil of joy, and a cup filled with blessings of every kind. It is absolutely true, as Psalms 23 promises, the Lord always meets the needs of his people. H.W. Baker said, "He spreadeth a table in my sight, thy boundless grace bestoweth, and oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth." Reminds me of an old song we used to sing. "Come and dine. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time." And the chorus says, "Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine." Second verse says, the disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the master calleth unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. And verse 3 is a promise that I hope to see fulfilled very soon.
Oh, yes.
Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assembled be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight. All the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally.
Yes.
Come and dine. Our master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Are you hungry? He calleth you, come and dine. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The Lord Jesus Christ does prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ does anoint our head with oil. And the Lord Jesus Christ does fill our cup to overflowing. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Amen. And thank you for your attention this morning.